We've been going through the book of Ephesians together as a church, and we've been talking about the process of Christian growth and our walk with God through the words sit, walk, stand, which are the words that Paul uses in his letter to Ephesians. And as we're using these words to focus our thoughts on how do we begin our Christian walk, and then how do we continue to journey, the word sit is a starting point. As Christians, we talk about we don't start with walking, but we start with sitting. And you might be asking, what does it mean to sit first? You know, aren't we called to do things and work and do stuff for God, right? And there's a point where we do things, right? But our identity with Christ comes first with knowing that Jesus Christ came to earth, died on the cross, and defeated the powers of Satan and hell, and is raised up to the right hand of God above all power and authority, above everything, every name, every other name that's invoked, it says in scripture, Jesus' name is above every name. And we are raised as children of God with him, and we are seated with Christ. So it comes from that identity that we know we have all and every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul spends a good bit of time praying and asking, and like kind of really wanting the Ephesian church to know their identity in Christ, as he goes into this understanding of who we are as seated with Christ. And then from there, he goes into what does it look like to live and walk into the image of Christ? Because there is a point we are called to walk and to walk and act and live as followers of Christ. And as he talks about that, then action comes for sure. He talks about how to walk into the image of Christ. What does it look like? What does it look like to walk in the ways of the world and don't walk that way? He talks about the actions it takes to take off our old nature, and then we have to put on the new nature. And these are all choices we have to make. It's a fight we have to live every day, right? It's a fight we live. It doesn't come naturally. Our sin nature is still part of us that we have to take off, be willing to put us ourselves under the submission of Christ. Last week, Pastor Dan talked about our relationships are now changed dramatically. In many ways, the way we relate to people is oftentimes who has more power than the other, right? For whatever reasons. In this world, there's authorities, there's people that we're under, and we are people that we're over, kind of thing. Paul just turns that all upside down. He says, we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Even knowing that God has placed us in certain positions, right? And there are people with authority over us, and there are people that we submit to. But Paul says, now we don't use our authority and lord it over people. Even if we're in the position of authority, we now submit to one another, and we choose to do that out of our love for Christ. And now he goes to the end of the book. And the book, end of this book we're coming to is stand. We've learned to sit, we have to walk, and now we have to stand. And it's getting to these very last few verses in his letter. Paul lays out that there is a battle that is going on around us, and we have to learn to stand. So as we go into this, would you join me in prayer? Let's pray and lift this time to the Lord. God, thank you for your word that gives us life and speaks truth to us. And we pray that you would just allow your spirit to breathe into our hearts, Lord. Stir our spirits, Lord God, to hear what you'd have to say. And Lord, we ask that you would clarify for us, Lord God, any misunderstandings or things that we've gained over the years that are not of you. And Lord, help us to take in your word, an understanding of what's going on in the spiritual realm with clarity and increasing, and an increasing strengthening, Lord God, from what we hear today and moving on forward. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a battle and there's a struggle that we have, and it's with an enemy. And it's different than the struggle that Paul laid out earlier and spend a lot of time talking about. Paul spent a lot of time talking about another struggle with our old nature, but now he talks about something else. It's a battle, and it's a battle that we have to be strong in the Lord's mighty power. We have to put on the full armor to take our stand against Satan's schemes. This battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against some other powers. It's not human beings. So he says it's against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it's not things that we can see. There's a battle going on in the spiritual world. It's an unseen battle. So if we're in this battle, whether we see it or not, whether we know it or not, we're in a battle. So we should know what this battle is about. Who is our enemy? How does this battle look like? And how are we to fight? Right? So we're going to be taking this on. Pastor Dan is going to end the sermon series next week in a continuing of how we are to fight. But let's go into who is our enemy. Who is our enemy? Paul said that we have to fight against Satan's schemes. Satan is our enemy. And I think surprisingly, and maybe not surprisingly, the Bible doesn't actually spend that much time talking about Satan. Just to know, we're going to pull out some things, and all the information I'm getting here has been research going through the Bible. I used a book called Deliver Us from Evil by Don Basham. It's a really good book, but he literally went through the concordance, looking up every verse that he could find out about Satan, about demons, and pulling things out. So some of this stuff, it's like you have to piece it together. There's not a lot of teaching about Satan other than what we really have to know, which in itself is a message. We don't have to give a lot of attention to Satan. Honestly, we don't have to give a lot of airtime to him. And he doesn't get that much airtime in the Bible, right? But there are some things we do need to know, and we want to know so that we know what we're up against. So Satan, let's see what the Bible says about him. The rebellion against God and why we're in a battle is something that began long ago in heaven. Lucifer was a principal archangel in heaven, and he was originally known as Lucifer. His name means light bearer. And as an angel of God, one of his angels in heaven, and one of the principal archangels, it says that he was probably, a lot of scholars think he was one of three principal archangels, the others being Michael and Gabriel. And these archangels ruled kind of the lesser ranks of heavenly beings. In Colossians 1, 15 and 16 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So all angels were created by God through Jesus Christ. Everything was created by God and for him. But at some point, Lucifer, God's angel, rebelled against him, thus becoming Satan. And that word Satan means adversary. And the reason for his rebellion and downfall was pride. In Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, we have some words about him. And it says here, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, you to the depths of the pit. In these verses, it points out what was Satan's motivation. And it says that he wanted to raise his throne above the stars of God. He wanted to be on the utmost places. He wanted to make himself like the Most High God. So he wanted to be like God, and that was his downfall. So because of his rebellion, Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven, and Satan set up his own kingdom, a rival kingdom in the spiritual realms. But how does Satan become the ruler of our world? So we need to go a little bit back into a little bit more of history here. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them in his own image, and he gave them this godlike authority over all of God's creation. That was God's intention, is that mankind, woman and man together, would rule. In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So this is not new information to many of us. We know that God made us in his image, and like in his image, we have the power to rule. So God put the world into humankind's hands to rule. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God's plan for mankind was disrupted. Satan tempted Eve to rebellion with the very same motivation that caused his own downfall, which was pride. He told Eve, "You will be like God if you eat this fruit. Your eyes will be open, and now you will be like God," right? But Satan, Jesus said this, from the very beginning was a murderer, and he's a father of lies. So he took partial truths and then convinced Eve, "You should do this, because now you'll be like God, and you're going to know good and evil." Eve did not know this would lead to her own death and the sin of and sin coming into the world and the death of all mankind. When they succumbed to that temptation, it wasn't only their fall, we know, but now the earth was corrupted. God told Adam, "Now this earth is going to be cursed because of you." Death came into the world. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned." Every human being is born with a sin nature, and we confirm that because we sin. And now we're all under Satan's dominion. And though God had originally given dominion of this world to humankind, that dominion over earth was passed into Satan's control. And that's why we see that when Satan tempted Jesus in Luke 4, 5 and 6, the devil led him up to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Satan could say that to Jesus because he had been given the rule. It had been passed over to him, the dominion of the earth. And that's why Satan is called the ruler or God of this world. Jesus, before he went to the cross, said, "For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me." We know that Satan came to rule this world, but he has no power over Jesus. Satan, though, is a ruler of a vast hierarchy. So what is it that we see about Satan and his angels? It says in Revelation 12:17, just so we know, there, Satan does have his angels or demons. The reason the word angels is used is because angels fell with Satan. Some believe that even a third of the angels were under Satan's rule when he was an archangel, and those angels fell with him. So it says, now a war arose in heaven in Revelation 12:7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought back. The way that we understand just a few ideas from what scripture says is that there is a structure to what the way that Satan's spiritual realm is set up. Ephesians 6:12 that we read lays that out. There are rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, kind of making known that there are demons that have dominion entrusted to them. They are given power of rule over certain areas. It says that there are spiritual forces of evil. There is a structure to where the way that it's laid out. There is rank among demons with more and less power. And Jesus made reference to that. He says that when there was, he talks about when someone is taken over by an evil spirit, sometimes the evil spirit goes and gets seven other spirits, can get seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and then go and live in that person again. So there's wicked spirits, and then there are more wicked spirits. There's a regionality to demons, just to get a little bit of idea that there was in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was praying, and the moment he started praying and fasting, apparently an angel was sent from God to meet Daniel, but that angel was stopped by what is called the Prince of Persia or the Prince of Greece. So an angel that was in charge of a certain area where Daniel lived stopped this particular angel from coming, and until that angel was assisted by the angel Michael and then defeated the angel of Satan, the demon there. So there's angels that take, or demons that take certain areas. There's a regionality to them. What does the battle look like? As we get an idea of what and how Satan moves, and what his, the structure of his demonic world looks like, what does the battle look like? Well, we know there is an ongoing spiritual warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. In 1 John 3:8, it says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So we have the devil who's been sinning from the beginning, and the Son of God who knows that though God's plan was disrupted by man's choice of sin, he has come to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came to restore fallen humankind to himself. In Colossians 1:13, it says, For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In this battle, we have our God who already chose to fight and did the work for us. He's come to rescue us from the dominion of darkness and bring us into the Son, the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And Satan fights against this work of God. So this is the battle that's happening. This is the battle that's happening, right? Satan fights against the work of God. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." While we identify that if there are things around us and we see something that is, you know, the work of the enemy is really made clear by whatever he can do to steal joy, steal peace, that's the work of the enemy. He's going to kill and destroy, right? But Jesus says, "I have come to give life." Satan afflicts people with evil spirits. In Mark 1:34, it says, "Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was." In Jesus' ministry, it over and over and over, it talks about how he cast out demons and unclean spirits. Right? It was a regular part of his ministry. We want to take a moment to look at what is affliction versus possession. Because I think oftentimes we see that someone was demon possessed. We might read that in the Bible. And then it can actually raise a little bit of confusion in us. Because the Greek word that the Bible translates as being demon possessed, in that original Greek, it simply means to have a demon, to be afflicted with a demon. Whereas demon possession has the feeling that you are completely under the control of a demon. So even as Christians, I think this is where the key point for us lies, is as Christians, we might be afflicted by an evil spirit or a demon. We might be able to operate pretty normal in almost every area of our lives, and we might see that our friends or people around us operate pretty normal in almost every area of their lives, but maybe they have a very strong sense of depression that they just can't move forward from, you know, or some kind of addiction or something else. That may be an affliction of a demon, right? So it is something that's, according to scripture, we see that people can be afflicted by demons. And then there's also possession, where when you read the story of Jesus, when he meets a man in the city of Gerasene, he meets a man who has a legion of demons, and the man is possessed, and he is set free by Jesus. So different levels of affliction. Satan blinds people so that they cannot come to believe in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan will do whatever he can to lie, to deceive us, to cause us to be blind to seeing the light of God, the truth of who he is, to cast doubt in us. And that is the work of Satan. There are two struggles going on. So we want to take a moment to remember, as we're talking about the ways that someone can be afflicted, the way that Satan works, that there are two struggles, just to remind us that there are two struggles going on. One struggle is with our old nature. And our old nature, this is not a demon possession. Paul spends a great amount of time talking about and teaching us how to fight our old nature, Because actually most of our effort should go into what does the everyday life look like? And taking off our old self and putting on the new self. Taking off jealousy, taking off pride, taking off envy, taking off those things that we know that is not of God, but sometimes we get into and we choose to do, right? And we have a choice to say, I'm taking that off, I'm putting on kindness, I'm putting on patience. I just got mad at someone, but I'm going to now put on patience. You know, like, that's the work we do every day. That's a struggle that is part of our everyday lives, right? And then we have our struggle with evil spirits. And these evil spirits can take a hold of certain areas of our lives. And Paul even makes reference to that in a way when he talks about taking off anger. And he says, don't let the sun go down while you're angry and let the devil take a foothold in it. Because sometimes even though anger in itself, you know, we talked about, might be an appropriate reaction to something that happens, when we let it fester and get a hold of us and we don't deal with it, then as we give into the anger, then sometimes a spirit of anger can also become a part of our struggle now. Then an evil spirit of anger that we've allowed because we've let the devil get a foothold, right? So there are struggles, there are two struggles going on. Sometimes it's just our old nature that we need to continue to fight, and it's a daily process of becoming like Christ. And sometimes we have to say, if there is an evil spirit of something, we also say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit. And so it's a both and happening many times in our walk. The end of the battle. So as we come to the end of the battle, there is an end. There is an end that's, in a way, it's almost as if it's already happened, because it's the truth of what will be. Satan will be defeated, and he will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. In Revelation 20:10, it talks about the end, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is an end. Satan will be defeated. And Satan knows this, and he knows his time is short. So as we think about what's going on in the spiritual realm, know that Satan already knows he's going to be defeated, right? It says in Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea for this period right now, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Satan knows that when what Jesus did on the cross signified his end, right? But he knows that there's a period of time, and it says that his time is short, but he is going to work what he can to wreak havoc, to try to do what he can to kill, steal, and destroy. And so Paul comes to the end. He says, he writes this letter and explains a lot of things, right? Explains who we are in Christ, knowing where to sit in what Christ has done, knowing where to walk and continue to walk in him. The very end, he says, we should all be aware that there is a spiritual battle going on. Because if we're not, then we're gonna be caught in it unaware. So he says, be aware. Be aware of the spiritual battle and fight. Fight. And he says, put on the full armor of God. How do we fight? At the end, he says, put on the full armor of God. Putting on the full armor prepares us for the battle. And it's not a one-time action. It's a lifestyle of suiting up. We are not going to go into the details of the aspects of what it means to suit up. Pastor Dan will go into it in our closing sermon next week as we learn how to fight. But it's a lifestyle of knowing the truth of God. When it's a lifestyle of protecting our thoughts and our heart, of putting on the righteousness of Christ. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle of suiting up and putting on the full armor of God. And as you put on the full armor, then we're able to handle Satan's fiery arrows, which are shot at us every day, right? But we don't have to worry about that when we are suited up and with the full armor of God. We fight with the authority and power of Christ. We fight with authority and power of Christ. In the very beginning of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul makes it really clear. He said, you need to know your power. You need to know your authority. And he talks about that. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open. And he talks about the things that he wants us to know. And he says, you need to know that you have this incomparably great power, for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. We have all authority in Christ. We have the authority, and when he says it's far above all rule and authority, he's again listing out the authorities that Satan has in the spiritual realm. He says it's far above any authority that Satan has and in his realm. So we are seated with Christ. We are not to fear Satan. We're not to fear any of the strongholds that he might have or the ways that he might attack us. God has equipped us for this battle. And we have to fight. We have to choose to fight. We can't be caught unawares. So we're going to end with some guidelines. Guidelines for praying in the authority that we've been given in Christ. How do we pray? I want to just kind of simplify this first in some ways. First thing is to identify the issue. What is the issue that is going on in your life? What is it? It's as simple as what is it that you're discouraged by? What do you see happening with your friends, with your family? Is someone that you know sick? Is someone that you know is struggling with unbelief? Is someone that you know, just very everyday things that happen, you know, struggling with a boss that is a continually difficult situation, right? Identify the issue of what's going on. And then number two, invoke the name and authority of Jesus. And this is a moment to say, to acknowledge, Jesus, your sacrifice on the cross set us free from Satan's hold over us. I know your name is a name that is above all rule and authority, power and dominion. There's power when I call upon your name, Jesus. And then confess any sin. Because as we know, that much of our struggle is against our own sin nature and the sin nature that we, when we deal with people around us, right? So sometimes it really is, and many times, about confessing our sin. And this is an important step to say, Lord, God, I confess what I've done. I confess to holding on to unforgiveness. I confess to holding on to bitterness or envy. And as we confess it, also Satan's hold in that area over our lives is released. And we say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And then we, in the name of Jesus, last step, we cast out any evil spirits. And this is something that we do whether we know for sure or not what it might be, we can oftentimes get a very good idea, you know? Lord, if I have allowed a spirit of hatred to reside in me, I renounce it. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's something going on in this situation that's not of you, you can say it that way too. Because sometimes we're not sure what might be happening, but we might say there's a very good chance there's something that's going on here that's not of God. If there's unbelief that's hiding my friends and causing my friends to doubt you and not to believe in you, Lord, I pray against a spirit of unbelief. Call out what you think may be happening in that situation. I often pray that way, even if I don't know exactly what it is, whether it's someone's own choice or whether it's a spiritual attack in a specific way, we can pray over it because we say, Lord, I pray over this situation and I cast out any evil spirit that's not of you in Jesus' name. So this is the way we pray. Paul says, pray about every situation in the spirit. We're going to do that today. So I'm going to take this moment to pray. I'm going to ask you to join me as we pray in the authority of Jesus. As we do that and we learn how to practice doing this in our lives every day. Lord, we offer you this time. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we offer you this time. We thank you, God. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're here to speak to us. Lord, you're here to reveal to us, Lord God, your love, your power, your presence, Lord God. You're here, Spirit, to show us and teach us how we can stand in the authority and power that we've received in Christ. We don't allow Satan to wreak havoc and rule in any part of our lives or the lives of our friends and family members or our world. God, we want to learn to stand up as your children and fight and stand So now I'm going to ask you to identify the issue and ask the Lord to show you what is it that you want to pray for. What is the situation that you feel like is a moment of defining this is an issue in my life or an issue or situation that someone around me is dealing with, and I want to pray over it. So think about what that is. And now we're going to invoke the name and authority of Jesus over that situation. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, and knowing that this is a way you can say it in any way you want, really, but just acknowledge the authority of Jesus. Let's say it together. Jesus, your sacrifice on the cross, set us free from Satan's hold over us. I know your name is the name that is above all rule. And authority and power of the enemy.
And authority and power of the enemy.
We call upon your name.
We call upon your name.
And now, in your own words, I want you to also confess any sin and anything that the Spirit might be bringing into your mind about what you may have done, what is a hole that you feel like you might have allowed the enemy to take root in any way. Many times it really is a choice. We don't always feel like forgiving, but forgiveness is a choice. And we say, Lord, I choose to forgive this person. Now in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out anything that's not of God, any evil spirit, working against me, against my friends, against my family members. If you can think of something that you think might be specific in your life or in the lives of someone around you, then declare it right now and say it out loud. I just want to encourage you to say it out loud. In the name of Jesus, I cast out a spirit of unbelief. I cast out a spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, name what it is. I cast out a spirit of addiction in my friend. Whatever it is, we stand on the authority of Christ. We acknowledge the power that God has given us is the same power that he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So with that knowledge, we cast out anything that's not of God. So go ahead and cast it out. Lift it up to the Lord. Cast out spirit of shame. Cast out spirits of laziness. Even as you say it, you might even say, Lord, forgive me of laziness. Forgive me of gluttony. Because we also know many times it's our own participation in it. Forgive me of gossip. And Lord, I also cast out any spirit of gossip among my friends. Lord, we offer our prayers to you, Lord, and we know in Jesus' name that you have given us all authority. And we, at this time, just declare, Lord, your freedom, your grace, Lord God, over all the people that we have named, over every person in this room, Lord. God, would you continue to grow us? Would you continue to make us more like you, Lord? Continue to train us, Lord God. Train us, Lord God, to be, Lord, the warriors that you will call us to be, Lord, to stand against the devil's schemes. We thank you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.